don't just take someone at face value. I don't care whether it's me or your doctor or a friend or what you perceive as an expert. Don't just take it for face value, because typically there is an agenda to this. And so if you go to a doctor and you tell them I'm not feeling good or I feel a little bit anxious and they want to write you a script, that's a red flag right there. They have been indoctrinated within this system. And the thing is they believe that they're doing good. They believe they're helping you.
She's truly a breath of fresh air. Tracy ignites dreams. And when you walk away from a meeting with Tracy Martin, you walk away with what I call a ripple effect.
And the type of energy that was radiating from her was like a ripple effect. I never met someone like her before, and I knew that her intentions were pure, and she spoke nothing but the truth.
I couldn't imagine, honestly, anybody else who I've ever met in my life being as helpful as Tracy's been towards me and the rest of my family.
Whatever problem you've got, however dark it may be, there is no judgment, there is no finger pointing, there is only healing.
Check in with Tracy. Do the work. You got this.
Welcome to the TLM Method Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Martin. This podcast exists to amplify the voices of Gen Z and those that are creating change in the world, to call parents to action in raising healthy, whole young adults, and to counteract the current cultural narrative that is giving you permission and at times encouraging you to live an immoral and mediocre life. I'm not calling you out. I'm calling you to action in your own life. A few years ago, a friend of mine said to me, "Hey T, you're the stone that's thrown in the water, and the clients that you work with and the people that hear you speak are the ripple effect that go out and create change in the world." That's what I'm doing. I'm calling you to action and calling you to create your own ripple effect of change. Hello, and welcome back to the TLM Method Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Martin. Today, we are going to talk about a lot of things, and I love to start with educating you a little bit about how we got here. Today is all about the medical industry, and leading into the food industry will be next. But, you know, we have to ask ourselves how we got here. This has been in place for decades and decades, and we a lot of times blame the doctors in the medical system, which rightfully so. However, the doctors are only doing what they know to do, the way that they have been educated or indoctrinated, whichever way you want to look at it. And as parents and as individuals, we have to take some sort of responsibility for this, because we've not really asked the right questions. And more importantly, we haven't been willing to take a deep dive into this information, because it's difficult. It changes the way you eat. It changes the way that you shop. It changes the food that you put on your dinner table. And it changes the work that you have to do around taking care of yourself, your own longevity, your own health and well-being, and if you're a family member, probably your children too. And this is what I want you to think about, was how we got here, and it wasn't overnight. So I want to start with a little bit of information. I personally believe that we have a drug culture in this world. I think that everything is an answer is on the other side of the next pharmaceutical, which is a big problem. And I think more importantly that we have gotten complacent with that, because it doesn't require any work on our part, which means if I'm not feeling well, I need to do a little bit of investigation. And more importantly, I need to be really honest with myself. I need to have a conversation with myself, and more importantly, tell myself the truth about my habits and my behaviors and how they are affecting my lifestyle and how I am, my sleep, my mental focus, my energy level, my longevity, my strength, my conditioning. Everything matters by the choices that we make, and it starts within how we take care of ourselves. But if you go back decades and decades ago, many generations have been indoctrinated by their doctors know everything. Their doctors are basically God, and then it gives them that complex as, I can tell you what to do, take this pill and it'll change your life, without thinking about possibly side effects. Without thinking about, are we now disengaging our own body's immune system? Are we also enabling or disabling a specific toxic behavior? And these are all questions that I like to delve into as a coach with so many different generations, because we've all been told different messages. And so my job as a coach is to meet you where you are, but yet give you some truth and then help you discern through that so that you can find the best way to take care of yourself. And it's got to be your way. There are so many biases around so many different modalities and so much information. I like to get to the truth and the history. So Let's jump into this comment when I said I believe that we are in a drug culture. Here's the reason why I feel that way. We have a sick care system. We don't have a well care system. And how did we get to the current medical system that we have? And more importantly, can we get out of it? So a little bit of history. So back in 1870, Rockefeller, which we know who he is, he began Standard Oil. And this is relevant because I'm going to get to this later about how Standard Oil is really in bed with the pharmaceutical industry, and you'll understand why. So early in the 1900s, I think, is probably the answer. Before then, we had very little disease. We had very little cancer, and cancers, if there were any, were highly publicized because they were so rare. And they were something that most people never even heard of. I can remember the very first time I ever heard of someone getting cancer. I was probably early 20s, and I knew no one up until that point. So we had many, many different healing modalities, which this means they work with the body, which means that we find our strengths and our weaknesses, and then we start to then work within that parameter. About 8 different modalities, and some of these have been around for thousands of years, especially traditional Chinese medicine. That goes way back, and it's based in facts. It's based in being able to work with the body. Unfortunately, our world today is just laden with environmental toxins that maybe we believe are the traditional Chinese medicine won't work. Ayurvedic medicine, one of the world's oldest medical systems, is also very prevalent today. Unfortunately, it's considered, you know, that it's quackery, I guess is the best way to say. And even ancient Native American modalities, homeopathy and naturopathic and allopathic medicine. So allopathy, this is what's used to define as seeking to prevent illness or alleviate an illness by eliminating its cause and discerning between the two, which came from allopathic and osteopathic. That's kind of how we got to that point. It's a very broad category of medical practices that sometimes seems, we're going to put that under the Western medicine umbrella. And so there was over 5,000 homeopathic practitioners back in the 1900s, herbalists, chiropractors, natural healers, and more than 25 homeopathic medical schools. And that's a key because we were educating people on this way of living and on this way of taking care of yourself. Unfortunately, somebody decided to show up and decide that they knew better and wanted to do something about it, all in the name of the almighty dollar. So early 1900s is when Rockefeller said that we're going to get into petroleum oil, which is Standard Oil, right? And his group of scientists came to him and said, hey, we have all these byproducts from all this petroleum and this oil that we're gaining, fertilizers, weapons, and medications. Medications, let's put that in parentheses. So Rockefeller met with Carnegie and said that, what can we do about this? You know, how can we capitalize on this? So Carnegie set about shutting down naturopathic and homeopathic colleges and schools. So enter in a gentleman by the name of Abraham Flexner. He's an education specialist, and he studies all different kinds of healing modalities, curriculums for those, documents, statistics, all kinds of different information based around all the different modalities from the Ayurvedic to traditional Chinese medicine, Native American, allopathy, osteopathic, all the different modalities that we were seeing in the early 1900s. And you had choices. You could decide how to treat yourself. You could decide that one way was better way, or even culturally. You know, if you lived in a specific part of the country or the part of the world, you went to that particular cultural modality because it worked best with you. If you were in India, you went down the Ayurvedic route because you had so much history and knowledge within that. So Flexner came up with the Flexner Reports. And what that said was that we need to somehow standardize the medical industry because it was too confusing. We had all these different modalities, which, by the way, were put in place for a reason, but nobody could make billions off of it. So they wanted to standardize it and being able to license it and condense it, which meant it can be controlled. It can be controlled by a specific group or party. So there were too many, and he wanted to license these to make billions. So choosing the allopathic method is what he chose. And that underneath, like today we have allopathic medicine, which is what it is. It's this part of the medical industry, and that's where they put all their money, all their research, and anything that went against that was considered quackery or witch doctors, and they demonized these people, even though their protocol worked for people. And shouldn't we have choices on how we take care of ourselves? I personally believe that we should, and I think that it's very egotistical of us to think that one way is the only way, and it's been shown that that's not true. Whether you're treating any kind of an illness, an autoimmune, a cancer, anything other than, you know, something that can only be corrected by surgery, we have to look at this. You have to uncover these different modalities. I myself have gone through so many different modalities and found information and found healing in that. And the other question that I had that I can't find anyone that can answer this for me is other than, you know, a few major illnesses, what have we cured in the last 50 years, 40 years? Because we haven't really cured anything, but we've come up with a lot of treatments, and there's money in treatments, correct? Correct. So we don't want to cure anything. And then we want to uncover and discover all kinds of autoimmune disorders and mental disorders and label people with these disorders. And we seek, oh, we have an answer for the way that I feel, but yet we don't actually have a solution because we haven't gotten to the root. We're just going to put a blanket over it to where you feel better. And we've gotten so used to feeling fine that we don't even know what it means to feel optimum, to feel really good. So when you dive down this rabbit hole of how we got here historically, it gives you a little bit of information to understand the nefarious part that's at work. So your pharmaceuticals in today's world, and ever since pharmaceuticals were brought to us, are petroleum-based. So, and I'm going to digress for a second. So all those people that believe in climate change and the oil industry is bad, most of you guys are probably on some pharmaceuticals. So you got to ask yourself a question. You are also participating in the oil industry, and you can't find solar and wind that are going to get you pharmaceuticals. So that's just another topic. So Carnegie and Rockefeller got together and they created the American Medical Association. And they licensed schools and doctors under that big umbrella, which meant that they now controlled the medical journals, the pharmaceutical industries, and the schools. So they might as well say they also control all the doctors. And therefore, they control the cures, they control the treatments, they control it all, and they benefit financially from all of it because they didn't really care about our health. So they care about their money. So ask yourself a question. Are you participating in this particular medical industry? And if you are, can you jump out of that? Can you find an alternative way? Can you look at something different? Can you get out of the medical matrix, as we call it? So from 1920 to 2020, the biggest thing that we're dealing with is heart disease, chronic disease, heart attacks, autoimmunes that nobody's ever heard of, which I think autoimmune just means mystery illness that we have no idea how, you know, what to deal with it. I've dealt with that myself. You know, my own health and well-being, my family's well-being have gone down rabbit holes of autoimmune because nobody knows what they are. But they can have a treatment for them, but they never really cure them. So you're living with this, which means are you optimally living? No, you're not. You're feeling fine. You're tolerating what you're dealing with. You're settling for a specific way of life. And so this has been deep-rooted into our society and into our mental for decades. So to think that we can just flip a switch and change it, we can't. But what we can do is start to ask questions and seek other alternatives and give those alternatives a chance, because you really want to make sure that we are answering the question of our own health and well-being, not just being drugged down a old way of doing something because somebody else has been telling us that it works. And there's always ways of looking at things differently. So enter in petroleum byproducts to create big pharma. And pharmacy is a combination of the Greek term pharmacia, which means to enchant. It's magic, cure, potion, or like we like to call the American drugstore. And all these things, like I said, are so deep-rooted that we have to understand where they are. And some people may not care, But if you really want to have a relationship with your own health and well-being and find out your own way and your answers, you'll want to have more of a background on this, and you'll want to have more information to where you can go and look and seek out. So lobbyists, medical journals are owned by big pharma, doctors are owned by big pharmas, congressmen are owned by big pharmas, and they all benefit in some way. You can look at most people in politics today, and there's some sort of a tether to big pharma or some sort of a tether to a way of them actually benefiting financially from it, whether it's a campaign money or whether it's actually in their own life. So I want you to think about this and how this actually hits you in your life on a daily basis. It affects your food system. It affects your health system. It affects your medical system. It affects your insurance. It affects every single part of your life on how you take care of yourself or your optimum living and your well-being choices. That's why I really wanted to just take this brief moment of yours and dive into what this means for us on a daily basis. And one component that I don't think anyone really saw coming was the mass media component. You know, most shows are now sponsored by BioNTech or Pfizer. And again, this is all being pushed in a specific narrative, but it's every single day layered through predictive programming, but was put in place way back in the late 1800s. That's the part that's so hard to wrap around, your mind to wrap around, because you're like, how did it happen? It happened because we become complacent. And what we thought was really, really good ways of taking care of ourselves, we were introduced to other ways that we perceived were better and that they knew better than we did. So I always liken this to, you know, we used to put a pot on a stove and we would heat up our water and it would stay hot longer. And it was, you know, kind of a pain in the butt. Okay, so then enter in microwaves. And people thought, oh my goodness, it's convenience. It's amazing. So you put your hot cup or your cup of coffee in the microwave, you hit 2 minutes or 1 minute and it's heated up and no problem, no mess. But what is the sacrifice that we're doing for that? It is radiation in our home. It is unhealthy part that we're ingesting. And then we microwave our food. It's the same thing. So we've gone down this convenience path of taking a pill, listening to people that have an agenda driven around our health and well-being without actually asking really important questions, which can I make better food choices? Where does my food come from? If I take this particular drug, why am I taking it? What are the side effects? What are the ingredients, more importantly? And if you read a list of ingredients on most pharmaceuticals today and you knew what you were taking or injecting, you probably wouldn't do it. And more importantly, you definitely wouldn't do it for your children because you don't want to, most people don't want to put specific substances in their body, but they don't know any better because a doctor hands a pill. I had the other day, I was talking to somebody, we were talking about vitamins and supplements, and this was so funny because I said, hey, have you tried, you know, I can't remember what the supplement was. And she said, oh, is that safe? But yet you're on 5 prescription drugs that your doctor gave you, so you perceive that they are safe for you. We got to ask better questions and better questions of specific people. And so think about what you have in your life right now that you might need to do a little deep dive on, whether it's a supplement, whether it's a food, whether it's a drug or a pharmaceutical or whatever, or you go and get, you know, your shots or whatever you decide to do. You know, the thing is that I don't want to tell anyone what to do. I just want you to ask questions on what are you doing? So what I mean by that is that don't just take someone at face value. I don't care whether it's me or your doctor or a friend or what you perceive as an expert. Don't just take it for face value because typically there is an agenda to this. And so if you go to a doctor and you tell them I'm not feeling good or I feel a little bit anxious and they want to write you a script, that's a red flag right there. They have been indoctrinated within this system. And the thing is they believe that they're doing good. They believe they're helping you. But the problem is they might be alleviating a symptom, but they're not getting to the root cause, which is the only way we truly, truly heal. And we also educate ourselves on how to take care of ourselves because we have generations walking around right now who have no idea how to take care of themselves from any standpoint. And that's really the whole point of this conversation is that we've been indoctrinated through a medical system. Then it's been reinforced by way of big pharma and government lobbying and predictive programming on our TVs. And you know what's interesting? There's only two countries in the world that can advertise pharmaceuticals over the airwaves, and that's the U.S. and New Zealand. Those are the only two countries who can legally advertise pharmaceutical drugs over the TV or radio. That has to make you think for a second. And then go back to look at your favorite shows. The Today Show, the Oscars, all the shows that you watch are typically sponsored by Pfizer, BioNTech. Again, so they are, the messaging is there, and we have to understand that. So a few things I want to leave you with. You know, man is not better than God, despite what some doctors might think of themselves. There are healing modalities that have been around for thousands of years that we have to give some attention to. You know, the immune system is the only immunization that you need if you know how to build your immune system and how to ask the right questions. And I encourage you to seek out naturopaths, I mean, homeopathy, people that really want to work with the body on healing. The truth is that there's so many different levels that we need to get through. It can be intimidating and it can be overwhelming, but start where you are. So now that you have a good basis of how pharmaceuticals got into our daily lifestyle, now you can ask yourself, do I want to go down that route or do I want to resist it and actually look at a different alternative way of taking care of myself that might give me more optimum living and longevity in the long run? So parents are quick to put their children on drugs for something such as focus. So if your child goes to school and the teachers, you know, you get a note sent home, they're not focusing. They can't sit still. So enter in, oh, he has ADHD or ADD, and then you put them on Adderall. And this is all to get a grade in school. Think about that. Now you have a young mind that is altered. And again, this is your choice if you've done your homework. And a lot of times it's out of convenience, or it's easy to take a pill, or it's easy to put your child on a pill, or it's easy for the teachers because the kid sits there and they're a zombie. And you got to ask yourself these important questions. And that's all that I ask of you, is please delve into some things and ask yourself some questions. You know, children's brains are not fully formed between the age of 25 for girls and 28 for boys. And this goes through Dr. Daniel Amen, his clinics in California, actually all over the country, but he studies these and he's looked at over 100 and some thousand brain scans. And this is legitimately statistical information that we are biologically altering our children's brains for a lifetime. Now, you're not stuck with the brain that you have. You can regenerate it through proper nutrition, sleep, supplementation. And it doesn't mean that the other part of the drug world is not something that you want to look at. But if you look at it, don't make that the first thing you look at. Look at your child's sleep. Look at your child's habits and lifestyles. Look at their food. Look at the ingredients in their food. All these things really, really do matter. And when you go back in history and you look at how we got here based upon two people's decision to take petroleum industry and integrate it with the pharmaceutical industry, does that sit well with you? Maybe it does. For me, it doesn't, because I have to look back at that and historically look at all the other modalities, plant medicines, homeopathic, all different kinds of other modalities through chiropractic, through naturopathic, through integrative, all these different modalities of they've been around for a reason, okay? So think about this. Overall, 18% of children age 0 to 11 years old are on drugs. 27% of adolescents aged 20 to 19 are on prescription drugs. 46.7% of adults aged 20 to 59 are on prescription drugs. And 85% of adults over 60 use prescription drugs in the past 30 days. And this is according to the CDC. So if you think about that, so 18% of children from 0 to age 11 is on some sort of a pharmaceutical drug. Does that sit well with you? Is that okay to alter a young mind that hasn't even been given a chance? Or are we doing more harm than good out of convenience? Have you sat down with your child? Have you brought in another person maybe to talk to your child as far as understanding lifestyle, sleep, food, nutrition, everything? And I'm not saying that there are not reasons for going down that pharmaceutical route, What I'm asking is just don't make that the first one. I have so many teens and young adults who come in here and who are on multiple prescriptions, whether they're depressed or they have trouble focusing or they have anxiety or they have a sleep disorder. I mean, and most of the time we can make tweaks in their lifestyle. None of those are needed. And that's my whole focus, is to give you information to go back and educate yourself, look at your life and your family and your lifestyle and ask yourself a few questions. Can we take care of these things differently? Are we seeking an answer or a true solution? 23% of college students have a lifetime history of prescription drug abuse. And this is according to the Journal of Substance Abuse Treatments. 23% of college students. If you've been on college campuses lately, maybe that might make sense to you. And that's another podcast. The United States spent $11 billion on drugs in 2019. The U.S. spent nearly $67 billion on anti-diabetic drugs alone in 2019. So again, isn't there a route that we can look at instead of throwing a Band-Aid on it? Look at the lifestyle. Anti-diabetic medication, think about that. Think about our food system and how it's connected to our health and wellness and our medical system. So if you're a diabetic, have you gotten the right tests? Do you have a lifestyle that supports health and well-being and skeletal muscle and sleep? Does this all make sense to you? You know, there are only two places, like I said, that we have to ask ourselves. The U.S. is allowed to advertise on TV, and New Zealand, no other country, just those two. We have a sick society, and they're raising a sick generation. This is our workforce. This is our future. This is our brilliant minds that we are altering every day by our choices. As parents, as doctors, as grandparents, as administrators, as teachers, everyone has an opinion on how to take care of our children or ourselves. Shouldn't that rely on our shoulders to educate ourselves, to make the right decisions? And as parents, I am trying to instill this in you today through this podcast. If you get nothing else from this message, please be willing to do a little bit of homework. When your child is struggling with sleep, don't rush them to a sleep clinic and right away look for a diagnosis. Because once you put a white coat in front of your child, they will give your child an excuse to not show up and to not dig deeper on finding an answer and a solution. Once your child can't focus and they get put on Adderall, they won't look at their screen time on their phones. They won't think about shutting everything out and focusing on their school or going to a quiet environment to actually do their work. They'll lean on the Adderall to be able to get something done. This is what I'm trying to say. We are enabling an entire generation to remain on pharmaceuticals and to not look at ourselves as the solution by our choices. Every white coat that you bring into your child's life will give them an excuse to not show up in a specific way. What if you started with asking questions on how they felt, looking at their food, looking at their habits, at their sleep, and delving into a little bit more, but asking questions of your child rather than bringing in a professional that you perceive will have all the answers for your child, because we really want solutions. So I want to thank you for your time today. And more importantly, I hope that you've gained a little bit of a knowledge of the history of the pharmaceutical industry as it pertains to the petroleum industry. That doesn't even make sense. So think about this a little bit more. And just as a really quick recap, this happened back in the 1870s whenever Rockefeller decided to form Standard Oil. And then he connected with Carnegie. And then they decided to shut down the schools and make pharmaceuticals out of petroleum byproducts. That's how we got here. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay here. If you have any questions, you can always reach us through Instagram at @OfficiallyTracyMartin or our website at officiallytracymartin.com. I hope you found value in here. I hope that you can leave us a great review and give us 5 stars. And more importantly, please come back and listen more for this information, because part of what we have to do is give you history so you can understand how we got here and then have the difficult conversations to be able to give you not only answers, but solutions. And then you are the biggest solution to anything that you're dealing with. It all comes back to you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today on the TLM Method podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed the time that you've spent with us. And more importantly, I hope that we make you think. For more information about what we do, our work, and our message, please visit us at our website at officiallytracymartin.com, and that Tracy is T-R-A-C-E-Y, or you can find us on Instagram at officiallytracymartin. We look forward to having you with us for more episodes of the TLM Method podcast.